So, thank you very much, Ingrid, for setting the scene. It's been great. I've only got 15 minutes now just to briefly give you some background to the research study that we've been working on in the research centre for a year. You'll be hearing various presentations, so this will give you a little bit of background to where it's all coming from and where it's going. Those of you who came to our last forum will already have met these research questions. Our goal was basically to look at migrants who accessed the AMEP over a one-year period to see what they did with English inside the classroom and outside the classroom, and to look at the fit between what they did outside of the classroom and the language used in the community and what they did in the AMEP, and how this might be different for different groups, clients of different ages, different backgrounds, different levels of education. Okay, so it's quantified diet. There have been a few studies of this kind around the world, but nothing quite like this. This is a multi-site ethnographic study, which meant that we went to 11 different centres around Australia, and many of you here will know that because you work with us in the project and you come work at those centres. And another unique factor is that we had on the research team both teacher researchers and academic researchers. So there were teachers who really knew their clients and the classes and the backgrounds and the programme, and there were academic researchers who had that research experience to bring, and together they collaborated. And that gave us access to clients, I think, which is quite unique in any study that I've read. People have never quite had access like that. And the teacher researchers, I have to say, were absolutely fantastic. Well, the academic researchers were as well, but absolutely fantastic. Worked so hard, made arrangements, made the whole thing work so much better. Most participants we aim to follow for between 11 and 12 months. Of course, with a longitudinal study, you always have some dropouts, but actually, they were fantastic. We had very, very few dropouts. Now, what's different about this study, it's not a survey, and I'm going to say a few words in a moment about a recent survey that we had also on the migrant community. It's qualitative and ethnographic. What that means is that we follow people and we try to understand what they're doing, what they're up to, in a deeper way. So it's not just a quick question or answer, we're exploring their feelings and what they're doing. And we did that through interviews, field notes, observations. We went into classrooms and collected data, had a look. We looked at their assessment profiles, we collected assessment portfolio material, and we recorded them outside sometimes in the workplace, sometimes talking to family and friends. So social interactions and transactional interactions outside the AMEP. But obviously, over a one-year period, although they may have been in the AMEP at the start, they weren't by the time they finished in those cases. Oops, I'm going backwards now for some reason. Okay, so an ethnographic study seeks to describe and understand the behaviour of a particular group. I've got a click problem today. I mentioned earlier that this kind of study is very different from survey studies. So I thought I'd mention some recent survey studies that you might be familiar with. Are you familiar with these longitudinal survey immigrant studies? So this is a very different kind of approach to trying to find out something about the migrant community. Very comprehensive surveys with an aim to provide government and other agencies with data that they can use to improve programs and services. Okay, so they're called LSIA. And these surveys have taken place in three of them, and you can see on the left of the years in which they took place. And you can see the large numbers of people who were questioned, and they occurred in mostly three waves. after 6 months in Australia, 18 months in Australia, and 42 months in Australia. But of course, they were all migrants, not only migrants with another language background. What interested me was some of the findings that I read about this, that we're able, in our qualitative study, to illuminate, to put the flesh on the bones, to really investigate what happened. So, mostly it seems that migrants are happy. Well, let's find out what that looks like and what their experiences are in the year that we followed them. Particularly interesting for the aims of our study here is language, finding on language proficiency, which we got off the website. Okay, so in a third of these longitudinal studies, there was only a very minor change in self-assessed English proficiency between wave one and wave two, that is after 6 months and 18 months. This is slightly surprising. Because English ability would be expected to improve significantly with an additional 12 months in Australia. Well, I think that is interesting. And our study is situated there where we can look at this and see, well, okay, what is happening? I think the first thing we can say that is happening is that the survey question was a bit of a blunt instrument. Okay, so... and although surveys are great for all kinds of things, they can't actually give you all the background behind the difference between not well and well. Okay. Anyway, two. They were also asked about the different skill levels. How well do they speak, read, and write? So, in contrast, we can show you rich qualitative data on what these experiences look like, on what the difference between well and not very well would look like. And later on I'll be talking about speaking and I'll come back to this issue. So we got, we started with 152 participants and we've got demographic profiles. We interviewed them across four quarters. Of course, a few dropped out, but that's given us over 500 interviews to look at. We've got over 100 recordings of interactions with family and friends. We have observations of classes in the AMEP. We have observations and recordings in the workplace, in the class. 400 bits of assessment. teaching materials we collected. Oh, I don't know if Pat mentioned while I was out of the room. We haven't prepared a handout for you today, but that's only because we're going to put everything on the website. So you can download whatever you like to your heart's content. We prepared a few trees up on this campus. Okay, and we also took observations from centres and collected materials from centres. Okay, so who are our participants? We had four centres in Sydney, two in Melbourne and Perth, and one each in the other capital cities mentioned. I've already said what a wonderful crew the teacher researchers are, and you'll be hearing from them tomorrow, and the academic researchers. We collected it, data, actually 2008 to 2009, that should be. And by the end, we still had 134 participants, which in a study of this size, naturally, is just amazing. Mostly female. That won't surprise many of you, I don't suppose. So how does the sample that we have? With the qualitative data, we obviously went with the centres who were working with the classes that we were working with. So it's not in any sense a representative sample, and we didn't aim at that. But I just thought I'd show you how our samples come together. So quite similar when it comes to the visa migration screen, as you can see. Also, the languages are reflected, most of the languages that are most common in the AMEP. So, this column in the middle is in order of size, and you can see that it compares quite well with the sample, the language background that we have. So mostly Mandarin, Arabic speaking, Vietnamese. And the language backgrounds in the little star there are the language backgrounds that we focused on in the professional development resource that we've been developing out of the project. So we've developed a teaching resource for teachers in the area of pronunciation. And Beth will be demonstrating that to you this afternoon. And it's a general book on teaching pronunciation, but we do have particular information sheets for teachers and learners from those particular backgrounds because they're so common in the AOP. Okay, so when did they arrive? As you can see, most of them were fairly recent arrivals in our sample. And most of them are in that age group between 25 and 44, and only a few very old ones over 50. As you can see, we had quite a few in certificate level 3, which doesn't quite reflect the balance of the AAP, but it does give us some very reflective participants, as I think you'll find out. Also, the educational level was a little bit higher than the normal profile of the AAP, again, partly because we were in that higher level. So I'll just give a little comparison there so you can see. And most of them are married. And many of them came from Asia. Bit of an exercise. Something to do, you're sitting still too long. Okay, so what are we going to talk to you about over the next 2 days? What have we found out about their expectations, goals, and wishes? And we have Sun Hyok Kim and Laura Fikarelli who are going to talk to you about that in a minute. We're going to look at experiences of speaking and listening in class and community, and I'm going to say a few words about that after. Morning tea. And then Pam's going to talk about perceptions of and experiences of literacy. Alan's going to give us a quick trip around the participants' perceptions of the AAP and the kinds of topics that they've covered. Loy Lissing is going to talk about language use and employment. Alan's going to talk about progress in English. Agnes will talk about English in the community tomorrow, and Alan will put in another appearance talking about educational pathways post-training. They work hard in Melbourne. Okay, and we also have other speakers. Janet will be talking about socio-pragmatic competence in the workplace. Beth, as I mentioned before, is going to be introducing the new professional development resource that we have on teaching pronunciation. Three of our wonderful teacher researchers are going to give you a teacher researcher's eye view of what it was like to participate in the project and what they got out of it. And Vera, one of our PhD students in the AAP Research Centre, is going to tell us a little bit about her study on settlement and social inclusion among Africans in regional Australia. So it's really wonderful to be in a position to stand here and introduce our study, and I really look forward to talking to you with you about what we've found out. So it's my great pleasure now to invite. Sun Hee and Laura to come and present.